All right, let's dive in. Today we're going back to 1970s Florida for a case that feels like it's straight out of a history book. But stick with us because this one has some seriously relevant stuff for law today, even now. We're talking about Papa Cristo v. City of Jacksonville.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those cases that seems almost ridiculous at first glance. Like, can you imagine getting arrested for just walking around? Or, you know, driving around, no evidence of a crime or anything. Well, that's exactly what happened to a bunch of folks in Jacksonville because of this vagrancy ordinance they had.
A vagrancy ordinance. It sounds like something out of like a Charles Dickens novel.
Exactly. And that's a big part of the problem. This law, which basically comes from like really old English poor laws, used super vague and old-fashioned language to say who was a vagrant. They were throwing around terms like rogues, vagabonds, and, you know, loafers. Like, what did those even mean, right? So it just gave way too much power to the police, you know, to decide who they wanted to arrest.
So, okay, we've got this law that basically makes it a crime to like exist in a certain way. But who are the people actually getting caught in this net?
Well, the group of people who were defendants in this case was actually pretty diverse. You had two white women, two black men, and then others who were arrested for things that seemed totally normal. One guy got arrested for prowling by auto, which basically
Okay.
means driving around near a used car lot. Yeah, a used car lot that had been robbed before. But there was no evidence, zero, that he had anything to do with it. And another guy was literally just waiting for a friend at a bus stop.
So it seems like this law was like a tool they could use to just pick up anyone they didn't like or thought looked suspicious.
Exactly. And that's where the legal part of it all comes in. The whole thing boils down to the 14th Amendment, specifically the Due Process Clause. Now, this is a really important part of our legal system. It says that everyone has to be given fair notice about what's a crime and that the government can't just act randomly.
Which this ordinance totally did, right?
Absolutely. The Supreme Court, and they all agreed on this, decided to throw out the Jacksonville ordinance because it was way too vague. It was totally against the idea of due process. And Justice Douglas, he wrote the majority opinion, and he had some like really insightful things to say about it.
Okay, so let's talk about that opinion. What were some of the key takeaways you found in Justice Douglas's writing?
Well, one part that really jumped out at me was this line: a rule of law cannot rest on a presumption that idlers are future criminals. Like, wow, right? He just nailed it. This ordinance was basically saying that anyone who wasn't doing something productive, you know, whatever that means, was a criminal waiting to happen.
It's kind of scary when you think about it. Who gets to decide what productive even means?
Right. And Douglas didn't stop there. He put this case into a bigger historical context. He pointed out that these vagrancy laws have always been used to control people, especially groups who are already marginalized. It's often based on, you know, their social status, their race, or even if they just make choices that are different from what's considered normal.
So he's not just talking about this one law in Jacksonville. He's talking about a pattern of using the law to control people.
Exactly. He saw this case as like a threat to individual freedom. It allowed for discrimination and kept a system in place where people in power could basically decide who belonged and who didn't.
You know, it's amazing how a case about vagrancy, which seems pretty straightforward on the surface, can bring up these bigger issues of social control and what it means to be free. It seems like Justice Douglas was really aware of these deeper meanings.
Oh, absolutely. And what's really impressive is how he manages to weave these big ideas into his legal analysis, you know? Like when he brings up Walt Whitman and Henry David Thoreau.
Yeah, that really caught my attention too when I read the opinion. It seemed a bit out of place, to be honest, like in a legal document, you know what I mean? What do you think about those references?
It's actually pretty brilliant. When he talks about Whitman and Thoreau, he's subtly connecting this idea of wandering, which remember is what the ordinance was trying to criminalize, with this very American ideal of self-reliance. You know, freedom of thought, exploration. He's basically saying that things like taking a walk or just observing your surroundings, they're not just harmless, they're actually super important for a free and open society.
So he's taking these everyday things like strolling around and making them into these cherished American values.
Exactly. And in doing so, he's kind of critiquing this narrow, like practical view of productivity that the vagrancy ordinance is based on. It's like he's saying, hey, if you make it illegal to wander around and explore without a clear purpose, you're going to end up stifling creativity, you know, individuality, and even dissent.
That's powerful stuff. And it makes me wonder if there are any connections to what's going on today. I mean, we don't have vagrancy laws on the books anymore, or not, right? But are there other laws or policies that have this same vagueness issue? And could they be used to discriminate against certain groups?
Oh, totally. Papa Christo gives us this really strong framework for challenging laws that give too much power to the police, especially when those laws end up hurting marginalized communities more than anyone else. Think about stop and frisk policies. They've been criticized a lot for letting police stop people based on super vague reasons like furtive movements or fitting a description, you know.
Right, and we've seen how those policies have been used unfairly against people of color.
Exactly. And Papa Christo is a super important legal precedent in these cases. It reminds us that laws can't be so vague that they allow for discrimination and random enforcement. It's all about making sure that the law protects individual freedom instead of being used as a weapon against certain groups of people.
That's such an important point. It shows how this case isn't just about a group of people who were wrongly arrested in the 70s. It's about setting a precedent for how we make laws and ensuring that they're clear, specific, and actually aimed at addressing harm, not just controlling certain types of people.
You said it. Papa Christo is this constant reminder that the fight for individual liberty never ends. We have to be super careful, especially when it comes to laws that seem small or outdated, because they can have huge consequences.
It's amazing how a deep dive into what seems like an obscure case can uncover all these important legal and social issues.
It really is, and it shows the power of judicial review and how important these constitutional principles are in protecting our freedoms.
So where do we go from here? How can we use the lessons from Papa Christo to make sure that our laws are fair and effective in this crazy, ever-changing world?
Now that's the million-dollar question. It's something that we should all be thinking about, whether we're lawyers, policymakers, or just regular citizens who care about justice.
Yeah, I think Papa Christo gives us some good ways to look at our laws today. It shows how dangerous vague laws can be, you know, how they can be misused, especially against groups who are already facing a lot of challenges. So how can we make sure our laws are clear and specific, you know, and that they're really about justice, not just about controlling people?
Well, one thing is we need to be careful about laws that focus on who someone is instead of what they're doing. Like making homelessness a crime doesn't actually help anyone who's homeless.
Yeah.
It just makes things harder for them.
Right. It's about what people do, their actions, not just who they are. We shouldn't be punishing people for their circumstances.
Exactly. And when we're making laws, we have to use really clear definitions. You know, no more of that vague language that could be twisted to discriminate against people. Remember those terms in the Jacksonville ordinance, like rogues and loafers? That kind of vagueness just shouldn't exist in our laws today.
I think Papa Christo also shows how important it is to have a strong legal system with judicial review and all that that can actually challenge laws that are unfair.
Definitely. It reminds us that the Constitution isn't just some old document. It's something that can still be used to protect people's rights, even as things change and we face new challenges.
It's almost like Justice Douglas was looking ahead, you know, like he knew the kind of legal battles we'd be fighting years later. His ideas about vagrancy laws and the dangers of vague language are still so relevant today.
It really shows you the power of legal precedents and how important it is to think critically about the laws we make and how they're enforced.
So for everyone listening, you know, legal experts, lawyers, or just regular people who care about these issues, Papa Christo v. City of Jacksonville has a really important message for us. It's a reminder to pay attention, to question laws that seem vague, and to fight for a legal system that's actually fair and just and protects individual freedom. It's a case that makes us think about our assumptions and make sure our laws reflect the values of a free and open society.
Well put. And with that, I think we've come to the end of our deep dive into Papa Christo.
We have. It's been really interesting to explore this case, which might have seemed pretty simple at first, but it's really opened up all these questions about individual liberty and social control and how the law shapes our society. Thanks for joining us on this journey.